So quiet, so nice. Appreciate the singing. Such a powerful part of our worship service to invite the Spirit in, and it does just that. So I have to get out of my own way here with standing with Brother Kurt sitting here, but it was a beautiful morning, and the Spirit was with us. It's been my intention to speak a little bit about communion. I believe Tremont had communion before Easter, as your tradition. Our tradition here is to have it just afterwards, and also to talk about communion with the whole church. And we're going to do that this afternoon. And I'd like to make a beginning in Psalm 139, if you could turn there. Psalm 139. I was praying and contemplating this in the past few weeks, and I noticed that my heart always went to Psalm 51 and Psalm 103. Beautiful, beautiful, as so much of the Word is. And then as I prayed and thought on it, I loved the words here in Psalm 139. So here's what I'd like you to think about. Because you might have already shut down when I said this is about communion. Because if communion, if you've already had it, or if you think it doesn't apply to me, then you might not pay attention. But I'd like today to be about examining our hearts. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, that we would be willing to come before God and to say, God, I love you, I know you, and I want to know you more. Our relationship with our Father. So think about that as we start through 139. And I'd ask you if you can pray in this way. Let's read the first three or four verses together. Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my youth and my lying down, my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Isn't that something? Just think on those verses. So a relationship is about knowing the other person. You can tell me about Jesus. You could tell me about Jesus. I can read about Jesus. I can know Him historically. I can know the context of the story of Jesus. But somewhere in all there, where we are at a place where He begins to speak to us, or we learn enough about Him where we seek Him. Surely He's there all the while. Surely these first four verses are going on in our life. I think the more we know of Christ, the more we experience how real this is. I hope you have. I hope you've come to know Him in that way. So you see, our relationship with Christ becomes when we begin to respond. If I have a good friend that comes to my door and he wants a relationship with me and he's knocking on my door, but I want to know about him, I want to Google him, I want to talk to a friend about him, but I don't open up the door, my relationship with Christ or my friend at the door is not what it could be. Not what he desires. So part of thinking about communion would be for us to consider our relationship with Christ. Whether we're going to take communion this year, or next year, or the next year, where are we in our relationship with Christ? You see, He stands at the door and knocks. And He desires that, you know, when we think about a relationship, it's kind of scary. I don't know that I want to get to know someone. And we put ourselves a little bit at risk. But He says to us, that's what He wants. Because you see, what we will learn is that He already knows our downsitting He knows when we sit down and He knows when we get up. He knows what we think afar off because He loves us. He says in Matthew, He said, if someone has 100 sheep and just one goes astray, He said, a good shepherd leaves the 99 and He goes and finds the one. You see, if you think you're the one that is lost, you're right. We're lost without Christ. We are lost without Christ, but we are loved. Our enemy says that we are lost and we're alone, and we might even be hopeless. We might even dress and look the part, but Christ says that I love you. And He said, I leave the 99 and I come and I find. You know, there's the picture of the good shepherd throwing the sheep on his shoulders and bringing him home. That's what He wants to do in you and I. So you say to me, I'm not in for communion this year. We'll talk about why. We'll talk about why, what it is, and when. But let's think about a relationship with Christ. And before we leave Psalm 139, look at the last two verses. So, and go home and read the rest of 139. It's so beautiful about the power of God. But read these last two verses, because I think when you digest 139 and you go all the way through and you really think about who God is and what He cares about, you come down to the last two verses and then we're softened and we're willing to put ourselves in the position of these last two verses. We finally say, okay, Lord, come on in. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me into everlasting. I'm not sure how fast we can digest or we can absorb or we can surrender to that place, but that's the perfect state. When the world slows down enough for us and we are aware of Him enough and His love for us, that we want to be known and we want to be found, and we say, Lord, search me. Know me. And if there's any wicked way in me, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, lead me. Isn't that trust? Can you do that with any of your good friends? Do you have that kind of relationship with anybody else? I hope you have a good friend that way. Sometimes that's hard to do. If we've been hurt before, we're not so quick to lay down our defenses. And if we don't know God in that kind of a way, it's understandable, because we might not understand who God is, and it is a fearful thing to surrender. Because you can't surrender unless you trust. By our own nature and our flesh, we want to protect and we want to draw on our own strength, and it's very hard to let go. And yet Christ says, let go. And He says, trust me, because I am the good shepherd. When we think about communion, there really are two events that Christ taught. There's two things that He wants for us as believers. He wants us to believe, but it's baptism and it's communion. And the why then is what's important. It's our lost state without Christ. It's our hopelessness without Christ. But we are loved. And we're cared for, and the plan is laid out. Before we pray, go to the first Passover, which... So if we describe what communion is, we're doing that already. And we think about why, and we think about when. We kind of start in Exodus chapter 12, which was the first Passover, I think, if I have my scriptures right. Chapter 12, verse 21. So we're thinking about our own relationship with Christ, okay? And we're thinking about where we are with Him in our path. And so now we go back in time to what this means to Christ. See, I think communion is about remembering, right? We're going to go to those scriptures in Matthew and in 1 Corinthians. But it's about remembering. That's what the act of communion is, remembering, and it's reenacting. When Jesus said, take this bread and this wine, so we're remembering what He did. That's what He wants us to do. And we're reenacting it. And then I think there's a third part to that, which is kind of a renewing. It's such a special time. It's such a special time that, you know, even in thinking about and examining our life, we're really praying the prayer in Psalm 139 and we're renewing. Man, I hope you don't even know what I'm talking about. I hope that you made a holy hop into this perfect Christian state and your life is always just right on. For me, I understand renewing. I understand what it means. Do you understand what it means when we draw close to God and we seek Him, we become full of the Spirit. And when we're full of the Spirit, we're full of grace. And when we're full of grace, it seems like to me we're full of joy. Because we know that I'm lost without Christ. But I'm loved. And so the joy comes, and the joy comes, then we want to be obedient because, I mean, I can't believe it that He loves me, and I can't believe it, the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. So He wants us to remember, and that's what He started with the people of His people as they left Egypt. He wanted them to remember the Passover, and that's what communion is, as you know. So look at verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. I'm going to add in lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord shall pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and thy sons for a week. Are you reading? Are you still paying attention? Forever. Forever. Now, how do you see God? Do you see God as just an austere God that lays down rules and you got to just keep reading the law to figure out whether you're in or not? See, this is the beauty of now the New Testament. And Christ coming and shedding His blood for us to know and to understand that when we believe, we are saved. And I love the maturity or the growth that comes when we understand that we are lost without Christ but loved. Then comes obedience. And we're not measured on our ability to come to communion on our perfect state in the law, but we're measured by our belief and our faith. And He says to us, come. So let's sing together and then we'll think and pray. And so I love 196, I think it is. Is it come? Is that come unto me? In the hymns of Zion. 296, thank you. Let's sing hymn number 296, and we got some pretty good voices here today. 295, it's been changed to 295. Hey, will you sing it with all your heart? Hey, if you can't sing, make a joyful noise. Just sing. But think about the words, because Jesus says to you and I to come. That's a great idea.
Come, come, my dream, all ye that may.
Well, that was mighty fine. You think we could take on 296 later? Maybe? Yeah? Afterwards? Let's kneel and pray together. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that these chords and these notes and these words and our hearts are a sweet-smelling savor, Lord. We pray that as we sing and lift up our voices, that there is a presence and an invitation that draws us together, Lord, in Thy Holy Spirit. Come and be among us now. And Lord, we're so thankful. We're thankful for this freedom to worship. And we're thankful, Lord, for the knowledge of this truth. And we're thankful, Lord, for the evidence that we are given and how we are loved. Lord, forgive us in our lack of faith, where we're fearful, where we don't trust, where we don't throw the door widely open, where we're not willing to be searched. Lord, we're sorry. Lord, because now in this place, kneeling before Thee, we want to throw open the door of our heart and our mind and our soul. And we want to say, come in, Lord, to our whole house and our whole mind and our whole heart. Search us and know us. And if there's any wicked way in us, Lord, teach us and convict us and lift us up and show us the way. Give us a good friend in the flesh and blood, Lord, to teach us and mentor us. And in the Word that teaches us the truth and the light to our path. And Lord, we confess our unbelief and we pray to help us as we grow in faith. So Lord, in all of that, we thank Thee for what Passover means and what communion means and what baptism means and what this relationship with Thee, with You, is. For Lord, we come before Thy throne and we can't hardly look up because of Thy greatness and Thy power and the glory and the majesty that is in Thee. And yet, Lord, as we come to know You, our relationship and our trust and our peace and the love that we feel, we know You as our Savior, Lord. And we pray in the same way that, Lord, we would honor and be obedient to and follow after Your high and holy name. So we pray for the kids in Sunday school, what's going on up at Purdue today with the high school students. Bless the speakers and the teachers and the children, the young men and women and young group, and what we've been blessed with, Lord. We thank Thee and we praise Thee. We pray for those that are mourning, who have lost loved ones, and all of it, Lord, we bring it before Thee. Those that are sick now, those that are fearful, we pray, Lord. So hear our prayer. Bless the Word yet today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I know what the brother Kurt means. We could just kind of keep praying and praying and praying, and you're over there trying to pay attention. Let's go into the Word yet together. I'd like to think about the what yet in Matthew 26. What is communion? You know, if you haven't attended communion, but here in Indy, the men are on this side, the women are on this side, every other row, and there's the service, and then there's the prayer over the wine. We pass the wine, prayer over the bread, pass the bread, and we have it's a solemn time. It just seems like it's a special grace, and it's a precious time. But as I speak on that, some of you may not attend communion this year. Maybe it's next year. But our path is going somewhere. It is somewhere right now. And we've got to think about that. It's a time for us to think about where we are before God and in our relationship with Him. And in Matthew 26, if you go to verse 26, this is of course in the middle of it all that we just read about during Easter season. But look at this again. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, until this week, I didn't really notice that last verse. And Brother Wayne Banwart, our elder brother for many years, would reflect on what it's like to take communion in heaven. And that becomes more and more real to me. Doesn't it? I mean, if you're young and strong, your parents are living, it's hard to relate to, I know. But he was so deep, Christ is and was, because he understand the moment. He was in the moment, but he was about what was to happen, and then he was about eternity. Taking communion in heaven is an amazing thought. But see, we are instructed to have a relationship with Christ, to first believe, to know salvation, to be saved. Even though we're lost, with Christ we are saved. And we know we're loved. He wants us to remember, to reenact it, to renew our vows, and to say, "This is who I am in Christ, because of Christ." And then we get a little older and we start thinking about what it would be like to be reunited with Him in eternity, and it becomes so real to us. I know when you're young and you're strong, it's hard to think that far down the road. But Jesus says to us and to the disciples, He said, "This is what communion is. This is what it is." It's not just the act of, because we're talking about the act of, but it's bigger than that. So the why is what's important. It's not just, well, we always do it at Easter time. That's just what we do. It's a tradition. It's about being lost and being found. It is about knowing who Christ is, the place where we set aside our fears and we come to faith. And don't you think that's what Christ wants for you and me? No matter where we are on our path today, just beginning it, nearly completing it, but He wants us to deepen our relationship with Him, to become more full of the Spirit. For me, examining ourselves is part of the why. Part of what He wants for us, what He has in store for us today, not just eternity. He says, you know, that even in the thought of this, if we're convicted about the sin in our life, the secret sin, the place that we are, if we're convicted about that, He says, "Oh my, trust me," the place where you can pray the one Psalm 139 prayer and you could say, "Okay, Lord, I'm all in. I mean, I was in before." I mean, for me, I don't know how it goes for you. I appreciated what Brother Kurt said this morning about being afraid of hell. That's how I was. That's why I repented in 1973. So we're at a place in our path with Christ. But then another year comes by. Another event takes place that makes us stop and examine ourselves and say, "Where am I at with Christ?" Don't condemn yourself for where you are, but be awakened to what He has in store. So we come to a deeper understanding. Whether it's a mentor that comes to us and say, "Hey, straighten up." Or are you reading the Word? Or an event takes place that makes us stop and consider our life. For some of us, we're careless enough that we have to be caught. We have to be embarrassed. We have to have shame. You know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is our response. Because Christ is calling. He's knocking. And He says to you and to me, let me come in. Let me search you and know you. You're lost without me, and I love you. Communion is about communion, and it's a beautiful thing. But our relationship with Christ is the why behind it all. And the salvation that He brings, that we all are participating in today, He calls us to that. And when we can be blessed on that night where we pass the cup and we remember Him, we reenact the night and we renew our commitment. We deepen our commitment to Christ. That's His love for us. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. You got to always look at 1 Corinthians. And I never know quite. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you know the scripture. And there's three sections in there, and we don't have enough time to go through them all. But examining ourselves is important always as we go through life. It's not a once a year thing. I mean, Christ really wants us to be about this and intentional all the time. So I don't want to take emphasis away from this in chapter 11. But the Corinth church had some serious problems, right? And if you go through verses, so here's my point. Sometimes in the communion exhortation, it has come across to me as kind of a thinning of the herd, like, boy, you better be perfect or you better not show up. And that worries me and it grieves me, because what Christ wants us to do is come. He wants us to come to the table. Because if you and I start thinking about how good we are and measuring our own standing and what we've done, you know what? Nobody would show up. And I think our concept of God is a little warped, in the sense that if we start measuring how wonderful we've done, we don't understand Christ. We either are very fearful of our faith before Christ because we can't do enough, or we in fact are proud in our faith, and then we start thinking that God somehow owes us, or somehow our obedience earns us certain rights, and that's not getting it right either. Our obedience comes from our joyful understanding of being freed from the sin in our salvation. I hope that doesn't come across as saying that what you do doesn't matter. I'm just asking you to recognize that Christ wants you at the communion table. What is that standard? Do you believe? Do you desire to live for Him? Do you desire to commit your life to Christ? Do you desire to remember, to reenact, to renew? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because all I'm saying is that here the Corinth church had really backslidden, and they were making a mockery of communion, weren't they? In verses 17 through 22, he lays that out. And then, now read verse 23 and verse 24. For I have received of the Lord that which I have also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is of My body, which is broken for you, to do this in remembrance of Me." After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink of it in remembrance of Me." So let's read on. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily endeth eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I think it's from counseling, it's for visiting, and for this time of the year, when we go to communion and we read these verses, this is where I see condemnation coming into people's hearts. And in Romans, it talks about there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You know that scripture? So how do you talk about this without, of course, wanting to motivate us all to be in full obedience and be totally open, like it said in Psalm 139? That desire and that heart is what Christ calls us to. Do you think he wants you to come to communion table? Yeah. Is there anything in the scripture? And as Christ came and as he taught and he desired and as he baptized, he wants us to come. He wants us to know him. He wants to deepen our relationship with him. He wants us to be saved because he's our good shepherd and he loves us. We are lost without Jesus. The people in Corinth had really gotten sloppy with the communion service, and they were coming. It says in those first verses, 17 and 22, read them, that they were coming and they were just hungry and they were making a mockery. There was believers and non-believers there. They were eating and they were drinking, and he said, stop it. Come to the table as a believer. We reserve communion for the believer. So he says to examine ourselves, and I say do so. And get on your knees before God. And if you're willing to let him search your heart and you're willing to be convicted, come that night and partake of the wine and the bread and be one with Christ. Be one with Christ. So, I wanted to read. Can we go to Matthew 11 yet? Matthew 11, verses 28. This thing about being good enough drives me crazy. I have two really good friends that think they can't repent because they're not good enough. Now, is that bizarre? But it's not the bizarre, because they've looked at people around them, and I know in their life they've had something very bad happen that they were responsible for. And they feel condemned. They feel not good enough to come to the Lord, and it just breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Not good enough because of their sin. And oh my goodness, I've tried and tried, and I pray. For an understanding that says we come as we are and he forgives our sin. We are lost, but that's without Jesus. He wants us to be whole. He's died for all of mankind, no matter what we've done. And the idea of not coming to the communion table because we're not good enough is not right. And I understand the phone calls, because it is good, because we're searching and we're just saying, what does that mean? There are times not to come. I'm not saying that anything goes. I'm not talking about the early Corinth church. I'm talking about a faith in Christ that says, I am his. I repent within myself because I want to be better than I am. I want to be more obedient. I want to be full of the Spirit. Therefore, I go. And I partake of communion. If that's confusing, call Brother Kurt. If it's easy, call me. Man, examine yourself. Throw open the door to Christ and say, come in and know me and search me. I got nothing to hide. And why don't we throw it out sometime? Because we got something to hide. I mean, we know. We know the Holy Spirit comes to us. But let me tell you something. Why does the Holy Spirit come to you? Because you're His. And He wants you to know and to grow in Him and the Word. Go to Matthew 11 and I'll be done. Verse 28. Now listen. Here's what He says. Here's what Christ says. Come unto Me. You know these verses. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Man, just lay it at His feet. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Doesn't make sense, does it? Take My yoke upon you. Does it sound like resting, does it to you? But I love how real this is, right? When you wanted to repent, did you see it as rest? I saw it as surrendering. Did you want to surrender? I saw it as a big yoke. I said, oh my goodness, do I want that yoke? He says, come. Yeah, I can relate. I'm laboring and I'm heavy laden. I want rest. And He says, but take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. That's the part that's faith, isn't it? We see the yoke and we don't understand, but we come in faith. And then we learn that His yoke is easy, because then what do we learn about when we walk with Him? We learn about grace. We learn about His strength, His sufficiency. Our roots go deeper and deeper. And our fruit then actually shows up in a stinking old tree like me. We learn that His yoke is about pulling together as a church and as families and as friends. We pull together as a body by the grace of God, being full of the Spirit, because we're open to Him and we're full. And then we come to the place that He has in mind for us. So I say, examine yourself. Expose yourself. Open yourself to Christ and invite Him in that Psalm 139 way. And then know of His love and your salvation and partake. This year, next year, He wants us to come.
So we can envision a yoke, or what we recall of those pictures of what a yoke looked like. But the picture this afternoon is yoked with Christ. Now, but Ken reminded us of having a good mentor, a good friend, having the, we would yoke up with the one next to you, right? Or someone. We'd yoke up with someone. And we'd feel confident of that. Except what we really know is the human nature is going to let you down. But this afternoon, the encouragement is to be yoked with Christ, for He'll never fail. The encouragement of our hearts, dear ones, is being yoked with Christ as we open our heart to Him and ask Him to search us. Spirit has clearly spoken. I think we from Tremont would like to come. Because of that openness of our heart with Christ. That's the high bar. That's what we want. That's how we want to live. Christ asks us to come and to share the cup, to break the bread together. In His ministry, there's a point where Christ was with those, refers to them as Jews, and He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you," Christ said. And can we imagine the reaction of the heart of one who was not understanding? The heart of the Jews was, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And then further on, many of the disciples, when they heard it, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And they walked away. Many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. But Christ says, "Take me into you." Recall. I won't get it right. Remember. Reenact, renew, right? The beauty of this opportunity to take communion and the meaning that it has for our hearts with Christ's draws us to Him. Appreciate the exhortation. Thankful for the power of the Spirit of God to move our hearts. And we're prayerful for you, Indianapolis congregation. Let's sing from hymn 26, if we could. And I'd like to have us read together some of the verses there at the end. Perhaps from verse 8. "Therefore, when ye to your master's glory come to keep this holy feast of love, you must truly hear salvation's story, joining those whose homeland is above. And true love will heart to heart bind ever. No discord will this union sever. One in Jesus Christ, they all shall be. He the head of His community." In verse 9, "There is life, and there is peace and gladness. There contentment, grace, and mercy flow. There the light of Jesus scatters sadness, shining with a soft and blessed glow. Oh, who would not joy in this salvation? Yearn to dwell within that habitation where the light of life shines full and free, giving men new life and liberty." From hymn 26, let's sing with prayerful hearts as you choose.
Can we ask a visiting brother maybe to close in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, we just want to come before you at the close of this worship day and just want to thank you for allowing us to come into your house this day and be reminded of just who you are, and just as we heard this afternoon about communion, and not just to think about it on a yearly basis when we partake of it, but just to constantly to examine ourselves and hold up the mirror of your word in front of us, dear Lord, and not judge others based off what we think is right, but judge ourselves by what your word says, dear Lord. So we just pray that we would take what we heard to heart today and apply it in our lives, wherever we go, in work or in school or at home, wherever we might be in the world. And just want to again pray a blessing on this Indianapolis church for inviting us in and feeling the same warm welcome as we do in our home congregations, dear Lord. And we just want to thank you most of all for your wonderful plan of salvation and sending your Son to die and shed his blood on the cross and rising on the third day. And we just want to pray for all those who have not yet answered that call, and that you would continue to call them and they would turn to you while the door of grace is still open, dear Lord. So we pray this all in your Son's name. Amen.